Welcome to Observations. I am Craig. We have with us Kirk and Scott. Fellows, it was a busy week. I'd like to begin with a article that was written on behalf of CNN regarding Governor Cuomo's willingness to call the bombings in New York, which were pressure cookers filled with all manner of sharp metal objects designed essentially identically to the pressure cooker bombs that killed two people and mutilated nearly 100 more in Boston. The gentleman's article is, his name is Dean Abdallah. He is a former attorney. He's the host of Sirius XM's weekly program, The Dean Abdallah Show. He's a columnist for The Daily Beast. And he is a political blog called Dean's Report. He wrote the following, guys. He said, "Let's not play games or be politically correct. Common sense tells us that the bombings Saturday in New York City and New Jersey were acts of terrorism. But these days, we don't hear the word terrorism used by the media or elected officials until they know that the perpetrators involved have some kind of international links. And we know that this means Muslims. The problem with that approach is that it makes us less safe as a nation," this moron, this piece of human rubbish, wrote. "Thankfully, on Sunday, thankfully, the governors of both New York and New Jersey declared that the bombings in their respective states were terrorism, even before they knew the identity of those involved." When I read that, I said, you know, pressure cooker bomb, that has about a 99.999% chance of being perpetrated by a Muslim. The indiscriminate bombing of innocent civilians as an act of terrorism has a 99.999% chance of being a Muslim. Now, there are terrorist acts on rare occasions that are perpetrated by non-Muslims. About 1% of the world's terrorist acts are perpetrated by non-Muslims. With those two conditions, pressure cooker bomb, totally indiscriminate in terms of completely uninvolved and innocent civilians, then you get to 99.999% Muslim. And I read this and said, you know, this piece of crap that wrote this is going to find out tomorrow that the perpetrator was a Muslim. The New York and New Jersey bombings, the piece of human worm rot that perpetrated them, was a fundamentalist Muslim, came from Afghanistan. Do you think that Mr. Abdallah wrote a letter of apology and said, you know, I ought to quit my job. I'm a piece of garbage. By listening to me, you are less safe. When it turned out to be another Muslim, and it's 99.9, he even wrote, he says, you know, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary that only Muslims commit acts of terrorism. No.
Not percentage-wise.
No one ever said that only Muslims commit acts of terrorism. And this guy was an attorney, so he knows how to use the English language. It's just that 99% of all terrorist acts are committed by Muslims. That doesn't mean they have an absolute exclusive. Just 99%. Then he names some acts that he says, you know, by non-Muslims. These is, you know, they're many and far between. Now, of course, every act of terrorism that's taken place in America recently has been perpetrated by Muslims. But he talks about
Oklahoma City. I guess he probably throws that out there.
Yeah, and of course Oklahoma City, the McVeigh. Yeah, McVeigh was trained by Abu Sayyaf and in the Philippines and. And the gentleman who provided the technology and the way to make that fuel bomb is now in custody of the U.S. government because he was the convicted of the first bombing of the World Trade Center, the one with the car parked in the garage. So even it has Islamic underpinnings. But, you know, just say that beyond the fact that the technology was provided courtesy of Muslims, that's the same bomb that was then deployed in the World Trade Center the first time. But that's one act. Name another. You know, when the kid went ballistic with his knife and his gun in Santa Barbara and Isla Vista, that wasn't an act of terrorism. The kid was on and off psychiatric drugs, and he was literally out of his mind. He wasn't trying to change society. He was crazy. Crazy people do crazy things. The same thing, Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook wasn't an act of terrorism. The kid just was out of his mind.
Yeah, the only things that I can think of aren't on American soil. You could probably include some of the IRA stuff in there.
You know, but the IRA thing is so misapplied because the IRA very seldom attack civilians. The targets of the IRA was the British government, and the British government deserved. I mean, I don't want to say that people deserve to die that are employees or troops of the government, but the British government's oppressive tactics in Ireland for over 1,000 years. Caused the Brits to be complicit in the animosity that was engendered against them. Now, that doesn't justify using violence as the solution. No. But it was not terrorism because the targets were seldom, if ever, civilians.
They didn't go bomb themselves to prove they were doing the righteous thing.
No, they attacked government institutions.
Yeah.
They didn't go after innocent civilians. You know, Islam is almost universally innocent civilians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the Boston bombing. Now, occasionally, they'll attack, like the Fort Hood situation. That wasn't actually an act of terrorism.
It's a
Islamic attack, and the people that were being killed were unarmed. But it wasn't an act of terrorism because the targets were soldiers.
Which is the same in Afghanistan when they attack bases or things like that as well.
Correct. Yeah. You got to be careful when you use terms. And this fellow doesn't seem to get that. You know, and a person who's insane, who just kills because they are insane, isn't committing an act of terrorism.
Yeah.
But that really was quite upsetting. And, of course, you have the father saying, you know, I told the FBI that my son was reading, you know, bad materials. And, of course, the FBI says, no, he never talked to us. It's just not true. And then, Scott, in your fair city, St. Cloud, Minnesota.
It's not my city. It's further north, but about 90 minutes away.
Okay. It's
90 minutes north of me.
Okay. 90 minutes north of Minnesota, St. Cloud, Minnesota.
St. Cloud, Minnesota, yep.
Mm-hmm. And there, the New York bombing was an Afghani Muslim. You have a little Somalia there, so it was a Somalian Muslim, wasn't it?
A little Mogadishu.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy was from down here or if he was from up there, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Somalian Muslim, fundamentalist. By the way, you know,
we have the problem is that we have them in all over the state now.
Yeah.
We have them everywhere, and we've been told ever so eloquently that if we don't like it, we can get out.
Yeah, that's what the governor of the state of Minnesota said. Now, it's interesting. In both cases, the media says that, and the judicial representatives are saying, we're still searching for what their motive might have been, and whether they have connections to any outside organization.
They both
left letters. They both said, we're doing this on behalf of Islam. We're fundamentalist Muslims.
Well, the guy up here was walking around, and he was asking certain questions.
Right. Are you a Muslim?
Yeah. And if you said no, he attacked you. Yeah.
That's correct.
Now, for the new audience, describe to them what's the difference between a fundamentalist and a radicalized jihadist.
Yeah. You know, radical is an interesting term. You know, if you look at the dictionary definition of radical, what you will find is it is defined as a fundamentalist. Radicals, the dictionary definition of radical, and there's a lot of dictionaries, both old and new, but a traditional dictionary will define radical as a fundamentalist from the root. However, that is never how it's used. You know, languages morph and evolve with time. For example, if you were to ask any one of the politicians or people in the judiciary, they would say, we want to know when he was radicalized. And you'd say, are you using the term radical to describe someone who is at the extremity and therefore at as far away from being a fundamentalist as possible? Or are you meaning you're using radical as someone who is a fundamentalist, who is representing the religion as it was originally presented and lived? And you will find that 100% of those who use the term radical Islam or radicalized are using that term to speak of someone who's at the far extremity, the far extreme.
Exception, yeah.
Yeah, the exception as opposed to the rule. Yeah. So that's one of those cases where you really have to be careful with the term. Yeah, you can look it up. I've had people write me a letter and say, you know, what you're saying about radical is untrue. A radical is a fundamentalist. I said, that's the way the word's used.
Yeah. But in the context, I mean, when I teach, I teach fundamentals of drawing and painting skills.
Right.
If I were to say, call those radical, people would look at me like, oh, what are you talking about?
Right. Yes. I mean, that's why the term is never used. When people think of radical now, they think of a vine with an offshoot, and that offshoot is just going way away from the rest of the vine that has been trained against a trellis or something. It's the radical offshoot is how the term is perceived. And so they're looking for how they were radicalized.
But you can't radicalize somebody who's...
Read the damn Quran.
What they're doing.
Muhammad was a terrorist. He was a sexual pervert. You know, there was an article today. Now we get a little bit of these two murders. The article came out actually yesterday. And it was from, I think it was the CDC. And what the Centers for Disease Control, and what they came out and said is that the number of women, girls, in the United States of America that are now either have been or will be sexually mutilated. Female genital mutilation is 500,000.
In the United States?
In the United States, 500,000 little girls are going to have their genitals mutilated by their own mothers. And this article from the CDC, which is so politically correct, they wouldn't tell you the truth if it killed them. They said that the reason for this is increased immigration from countries where the practice is common, and then said that there are religious, societal, and one other reason for female genital mutilation, and not one said, yeah, about 99.9% of female genital mutilation is perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims.
I bet you that all those all your big countries where it's popular, and I bet they all have something in common too.
Hey, look, you've heard of a company called country. It's actually Mitzray is the name of the country today. If you ask a person who lives there, they would say they live in Mitzray. And you've probably heard of the term Mitzrayim, which is the plural of Mitzray, which is the Torah's term for this place. The country is we know it by its Greek name, Egypt. What percentage of Egypt's population is Muslim, and what percentage is Copt Christian? Do you guys know?
It's got to be 90% Muslim by now, if not more.
Yeah, it's
Copt
90.
Is really small, maybe 5% left.
No, it's, the last survey was 90-10. 10% of Egypt is Copt Christian, 90% is Muslim. The records are very well known in Egypt. That's the reason I mentioned the country. Do you know what percentage of Muslim women have their genitals mutilated by their mothers when they're preteens?
Ooh, I'm going to guess high 90s.
Well, it can't be high 90s because 10% of Egyptians aren't Muslims.
Okay. All right, well, then
90%?
Yeah,
90% of Egyptians are Muslims. The percentage of Egyptians whose genitals have been mutilated as a child is 90%. Well, it's 100% of Muslims.
Who thinks like that?
I mean, can you imagine having a daughter and saying, you are such a piece of rubbish that I'm going to make certain that you will, not only are we going to do something that is incredibly disfiguring, incredibly painful, but it will deprive you of ever being able to enjoy sex. And I'm going to do this to protect my own honor, because if you were to have sex outside of us selling you to some pervert, we'd have to kill you. So I'm doing this because to keep myself from being shamed.
Think about that, though. We're all heterosexual men. Could you imagine having a partner that wasn't enjoying it?
I'd rather not do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather not do it.
But
I don't know if it's half the enjoyment or two-thirds of the enjoyment. But having a partner that doesn't enjoy it, I'd far rather not do it.
I think it's got to be more than that. It's got to be the two-thirds. It's got to be the two-thirds, otherwise I can go do, if it's just my enjoyment, I can go do that myself.
Yeah.
So, why would you do that? What animal does that? What kind of animal does that?
A religious one.
Yeah.
A Muslim. You know, that's the reason why, there was a public service commercial that was aired throughout Germany over the last week. And it was all designed to show tolerance for Muslim women wearing the hijab, which is the outward sign of you're owned and controlled. And if you do anything that expresses any individualism, you will have your parents or your husband kill you. And they said, we should make the hijab where it's feel more comfortable. And so the public service announcement, the commercial, encouraged non-Muslim women to start wearing the hijab. As opposed to saying the hijab is sexist, it's demeaning, it is against Western values, they want non-Muslim women to wear it. Are we out of our ever-loving mind?
Where is the women's
group? Rights score, with the 500,000 Americans now. 500,000 American girls having their genitals mutilated by their parents. Where are the women's rights organizations?
Oh, well, where's the child protection agencies?
Yeah. The next issue in the news was that police brutality. It's not being perceived as just police brutality, but Kirk Scott, how long have we been talking about the militarization of the American police and the fact that the gun is being used as their first option and they're way too murderous and that this is going to cause unmitigated challenges for America?
I'd be willing to bet we've talked about it from day one.
Yeah.
Pretty close to day one. One of the first things I mean you talked about.
Yeah, I'll bet I go back on this 10 years and became more and more conversant about it when following George W. Bush's Patriot Act, where the National Spy Apparatus, the NSA and CIA, became wholly militarized and completely integrated with the Department of Justice. And it became obvious with the WikiLeaks and the Snowden releases that the NSA, CIA, FBI, and Justice Department were conspiring against Americans. And then there was the release that there were many thousands of convicted felons who were convicted on what the FBI knew and the Department of Justice knew at the time was bogus information. All that fire and fiber and hair analysis that put so many people away is all phony. There's no science behind it at all. It was completely and totally a fraud, and they knew it. And And it became obvious that that we had a serious problem with that integration. And then with the Patriot Act, with all of the federal agencies, including the FBI and the ATF and so many more, being now integrated with the local police. And then the local police and the National Guard being deployed in civilian centers with weapons of war.
Mm-hmm.
And then the attitude of police becoming so belligerent that when a cop comes up to you, you just want to say, leave me alone. I've done nothing. You have no right to detain me. You have no right to come up to me and act like God. I have no respect for you. And it's, you know, they're demanding, and if you don't follow their demands, what hell, they'll shoot you today. And I used example after example after example of where they had done this. And we've been doing this now for a decade. Well, two more murders by police. One man was holding a book. His wife released her cell phone video of it. The police will not release, and the government will not release the official police video of it, which tells you it's gruesome. But the woman, the wife of this man, is yelling at the police, that don't shoot him. Don't shoot him. He's had a traumatic head injury. He's going to be slow. Don't shoot him. They shot him. And the first thing that she says is, you better not have effing killed him. Of course, they did. And then you have the guy whose car stalled, who was, based upon his behavior, was likely drugged. Some report says that there was PCP in the car. Another report says there was PCP in the person. The toxicology reports are not out. Whatever the case may be. But using PCP and driving a car, if in fact that's true, we don't have the toxicology reports, that's bad. And clearly this person was doing what I would do, which is to walk away from the cops. I want nothing to do with them. They've never done anything for me. I don't want them around me. I don't want them curtailing my freedom. But he walked away from the cops with his hand up. And the woman shot him, killed him. Now, she has been indicted. But until we start indicting all of them, like the killers of Tamir Rice, and putting them all in jail. Now, you know, I heard the other day, well, look at this, is tragic. Look at Virginia. Virginia is losing many thousands of police officers because they don't want to be scrutinized in this way. Good. It's like if we could lose the entire military, we'd be safer. Freer.
Yeah.
But then you get the Trump's response to all this, which is stop and frisk.
That's horrible.
That's essentially martial law.
Yeah.
Stop and frisk. No. The Constitution says you cannot do that. And it's unconstitutional. So you're willing to throw away the Constitution and do it, which is the essentially imposed martial law, to be safe. Anyone who sacrifices freedoms for security ends up with neither.
Mm-hmm. It's called Pax Romanus.
Yes, correct. It's been the case for a long time. And the response to all of this by the government is to try to hire more police, to bring in the National Guard, to put in curfews and more military equipment, right? So when I saw this last one, guys, my response was that America is about ready to elect its last president.
Yeah.
Whether it's the man who has a complete disconnect between his brain and his mouth and says things that, I mean, almost everything he says I'm just disgusted by, or it's one of the most despicable, self-serving, dishonorable people who's ever been in American politics. The rotten one. I think they will be the last elected American president.
Yeah.
I think they'll end up with the dictator.
Initially, maybe that something will happen. They'll slow this down a little bit, but because we're kind of in that slide to the World War III, the dog war, I think it's going to escalate even worse than we thought, quicker than I thought. So.
Yeah. Hey, but I want to ask you, was there a... there's protests in the street now, and people taking a knee for the national anthem. Which I wouldn't take a knee. I don't take a knee. Yeah, I don't take a knee for anybody or anything under any circumstances. And of course, they're doing it because of racial injustice, and the only racial injustice in America, folks. And this should just be clear. that if a African American is murdered, 90% of the time the perpetrator is African American. If you want to deal with social and racial injustice, and you're concerned that Black Lives Matter, then your anger ought to be not at police, but at your brethren. 90% of the time, according to the Department of Justice, if a black man is murdered or a black woman is murdered, they're killed by another black person. And if you want to deal with the racism implications, if a black and white are involved in a homicide, 80% of the time the perpetrator is black and the victim is white. Those are the facts. Now, I will say, and this is the only part of the Black Lives Matter and the taking the knee that they've got right. But they don't understand the root cause. It is true that blacks are more likely to be shot by police and killed by them than are whites. I think the numbers, like, for example, this year, that police have shot and killed, just on the ones that have been reported, most aren't reported, about 900 individuals, and about half of them have been black, which, you know, blacks represent, what, 13% of the population. So that's four times the rate of the population. But what they don't bother to consider is, well, do blacks commit per capita four times more violent crimes? And the answer is yes. A black person is four times more likely to commit a violent crime. So then the numbers are equivalent. There's no racial profiling at all. And then you would say, okay, and when it comes to drug offenses and murder, which is the two things that they're dealing with the most,
yeah,
what percentage of those are perpetrated by blacks versus whites per capita? And once again, you find that police shootings are in line with reality. And, you know, I used to tell Muslims all the time back in the day that I would write them back and forth where they said, you know, we don't like to be, profiled and accused of, you know, all Muslims are terrorists. Because I would say all good Muslims are terrorists. There are a lot of people pretending to be a Muslim.
A good Muslim.
The people that have no clue who Muhammad was, they have no clue what the Quran says. They're clueless. They're Muslim in name only. They know nothing of their religion.
Yeah.
It is possible to be a really bad Muslim and not be a terrorist. But if you're a good Muslim, if you're just a Muslim by the Quran's definition, you are a terrorist. And they'll, they say, you know, we don't want to be profiled that way. I said, well, then stop committing 99% of the world's terrorist acts.
Mm-hmm. Or leave your religion.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the two, but don't complain that people are looking at you like they think you are likely to commit a terrorist act or look down at you when you're stupid enough to wear the hijab because, you know.
Facts always drive you to the corner, put you in a corner. You're either going to respond to it correctly or you're not. I mean, it's not somebody picking on you.
We're all here for that reason. We're all here.
It is.
We're all here for that reason.
Yeah.
We do this program. We write these books. We convey this message because we were willing to go where the words led.
Yeah.
The facts led us to these conclusions, and regardless of what we had previously believed, regardless of our prior affinities, I was a very patriotic, right-wing, conservative, Republican, evangelical Christian who was an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. I gave up all of that because the facts undermine the credibility of those things.
Mm-hmm.
They just went where the words lead. Are you willing to do so? And if you're holding on to this myth that we all worship the same God, it isn't. We have to be accepting the terrorism. The terrorists are not good Muslims. They are the extreme. They have been radicalized. They are not representing their religion, because when the St. Cloud incident occurred,
mm-hmm.
I read about 10 articles, the first 10 articles that I found. All 10 were written for a singular purpose: to disassociate Islam from the crime when it was the only relevant factor in the crime.